If the roar of the crowd gives you goosebumps, cashing a slip makes you grin, and above all, you love making your bookie cry, then you're in the right place. The number one spot for premier betting advice and wild opinions, shared with a fan base like no other. Welcome home. This is the Punch List MMA Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? It's Tuesday night, so you already know what that means. It's Punchless MMA time. I am Dale, and a man who needs no introduction, the living meme, the Giga Chad, getting ready to be the Giga Dad, Drew Dober himself. What's up, buddy? It's good to see you, man.
Doing well, man. What an entrance. I got to do that well.
Come on, man. So first of all, the coif is looking great. You're carrying it a little bit longer right now. The hair looks good.
Oh yeah, we were thinking about doing some braids for this fight, just doing some Viking braids, I don't think we're doing it this time, but who knows? It'll show up eventually.
Yeah, if you come out battle braids, man, you know that's like a new mythical MMA fighter, battle braids Drew. That will be something.
I think it's gonna be intense considering how big my jaw is. If we tie these hair in tight, the jaw is just gonna look bigger. With like full on quagmire.
Can you grow a beard?
I cannot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a lot of surface area to cover.
That's all. Well, you know, it makes me feel a little bit better. There's just like one thing, like you can sit there with your tight t-shirt and flex your arms, but you know what? None of this. So that's good. That makes me feel, I got something there. Something.
We're playing on equal terms now.
Yeah. Yeah. The playing field is completely equal. Dude, congratulations, man. Congrats.
Thank you. We're talking about the dad stuff, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, listen, you're a fighter, and that's all cool, and congrats on booking a fight, but this is now the single coolest thing you got going on, dude. So congratulations, man.
It's definitely far more significant than any other fight I've ever had. So, man, but the same emotions apply. It's like the anxiety, excitement at the same time.
Yeah. How's your wife? How's she doing? Everything's good there?
She's a killer. Like, she's definitely tougher than I am, but symptoms, like, really super mild. She's really like a killer, and she's actually behaving more like an athlete than she was before pregnancy. Right. And she got pregnant and decided to go to the gym 24/7, but she's phenomenal.
So have you leaned in? Have you gotten the books and all, like, have you started the nesting process? Have, like, how far into this are you as far as involvement goes? Like, what are you doing?
I mean, as far as the contractor just left the house and finishing up our basement and our guest bathroom. So full nesting right now. Like, the moment I find out, I was like, all right, we got to finish every project in this house. Yeah. And it's finally done literally 30 minutes before this call.
I love it. So have you started the books yet? Like what to expect when you're expecting and all that kind of stuff?
Yep. And I feel like they all kind of say the same thing. Which is pretty much like, you don't know until it happens, and just stay calm and just deal with it. Yeah. I've read the books, and the thing is, it's just like a fight. You can't predict anything.
That's true.
Right. It's going to happen the way it happens. It's going to come out the way it comes out, and it's going to behave like it behaves. And you just got to deal with it.
So do you know if boy or girl yet?
So we are going to have the gender reveal on the 30th, December 30th.
Gotcha. So you don't know or you do. Okay. Oh man.
I don't know.
What are you hoping for?
I'm pretty 50-50. My wife really wants a boy. And man, the way I feel is like all dads get the gender that they need, right? And that's why I feel like a lot of athletes get like the girls. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I'm not confrontational. I'm fairly feminine. Like, I don't know if you've seen me like on camera before, but so I think I'm gonna get a boy because being a boy dad intimidates me the most.
Yeah, that was gonna be my next question. Is there one that scares you more than the other?
Yeah, it's having a son, right? Because, man, I spent all this time, 34 years trying to be a man. Now I got to teach something else to be a man. Like,
that's it. See, I'm happy you said that, because unsolicited advice would be one that when we were, so I have boys, or I have a boy and I have two girls. I was always like, my oldest is a girl, and I was like, okay, so we have a girl. I don't have to teach her how to be a man. She's going to become a woman. The type of woman she becomes will be based on how her mother is, and then the man that she seeks will be based on how I treat her mother and how I treat her. So, okay, I love her mother unconditionally, so I've got that. But then when my wife got pregnant and was like, well, now you're having a son, I was like, oh man, I got to like teach this boy how to be a man. And this isn't a dig at my own dad or my stepdad or anything like that. There were hit and miss periods in my life. So there's a lot of gaps where I got to like fill it in with him. And it's an interesting challenge, man. So I'm glad to hear you say that. It's good perspective.
I mean, I can understand and kind of relate. I didn't meet my dad till I was 19.
Right.
You know? And so like just the absence is just like the lack of, examples, you know? Yeah. And so like, now it's just like, I got to do it the way I see it, you know? And like a lot of it's going to be improv and, you know, but we'll see. We'll see if it's a boy. We'll see if it's a girl. I'm just excited regardless.
That's for us. It was always like, we'll go find out the gender so we know what kind of clothes to buy and ask for. But boy, girl, doesn't matter. We just want healthy. 10 fingers, 10 toes, healthy. And that's all. I'm not going to ask for anything else. And God bless me with three great, beautiful, healthy kids, man. They all look exactly like their mother, thankfully. So they're great, man. They're smart like her and they look like her. So
that's a blessing. That's a blessing.
Dude, it's a huge blessing. It's a huge blessing. All right. So dude, so that's one thing that's changed since the last time you and I spoke. And then now we've got, let's talk about the Bobby Green thing, right? So you and I have been talking for a prolonged period of time. The Bobby Green fight's been a fight that you've been asking for a long time. You guys were trying to make this happen years ago and could never get things to line up. Now here it finally is. What are your feelings going into December 17th?
Man, I think the universe spoke into existence. I've been asking for a fight in December since August.
Right.
And, man, we're just going through the whole political game, the this, the that. Man, I agreed to numerous fights, and they never panned out. And I was getting to a point where I was talking to my manager. I was like, hey, December's just right around the corner. Like, am I training for this, you know, a fight? Or am I enjoying Thanksgiving? Like, I don't know what I'm doing. And then, of course, I got a call, and they said, we got somebody that you've been looking for. I'm like, oh, who is it? Like, would you fight Bobby Green? I'm like, absolutely. And like, I was like, that's it. That's what I've been waiting for. Like, that was the opportunity that I've been being patient for and kind of training for. And, man, it came to fruition.
You know, I was pushing for the RDA fight for you. That's the one I wanted. That's the one I wanted. And that's – but here's the thing about the Bobby Green fight is – since you and I first started talking about this, I've loved that idea. I love that fight for you because you've adopted the mentality of leaning into fan-friendly fights and somebody that will be an equal dance partner. And I think we're both in agreement that Bobby's that guy. Now, the twist on this is, does the PED thing sort of mess with you? Because that's a new development since the last time we talked about him.
Not at all. If I'm going to be completely honest, in my opinion, he wasn't taking anything.
Okay.
Like I completely believe his story of just a tainted supplement. My good friend, Neil Magny, was an unfortunate victim of contaminated supplements. And so I understand completely. Right. And when they offered the fight, you know, I was getting a lot of questions on, you know, wasn't Bobby suspended and this and that. And just from what I've seen with Neil, it's if you can prove that this particular supplement was contaminated and that was the reason, then the suspension is like knocked in half.
Right.
So like I think he came out, you know, honest. Sorry about that.
You're good.
And yeah. So I don't think he's on any performance enhancing drugs at all. I think all his talents and aggression is homegrown, and man, I'm excited to feel it.
Okay. So with that then, How do you sort of see this fight playing out? I mean, do you think he's going to engage you the way you want him to and that he's shown in the past? Or, you know, is he going to try to get a little wrestly? I mean, everybody says they're going to trade with you until you start landing, or they start landing on you and they see that you don't take a step backwards. Game plans shift real quick. Do you think he's going to stay the course? Do you think he's going to pivot?
You know, I think Bobby's hard to hit. You know, he's got really good, you know, head movement and he like evades, and man, he plays the fight the way he wants to play it, right?
Right.
And so he doesn't really like when people stay in his space. Like he moves, he, you know, jibs and jives and all that stuff. So I think it's gonna take a while for me to kind of get that rhythm going, you know, for me to be the dance, the leader.
Yeah.
But when I do start touching his chin, then he's gonna decide whether he wants to wrestle or not. And like,
right.
Man, I mean, I turned Brad Riddell into a wrestler, and so you never know.
Right.
But I do know Bobby Green is hard to hit.
Yeah.
So, man, if I'm expecting a first round knockout, I mean, that might be overreaching. But it might take a while to find that chin.
Do you have a lot of experience going off, you know, squaring off with guys that do like sort of that shoulder roll and op, like sort of bounce between the shoulder roll and that Philly shell kind of style?
Yeah. I deal with that. He does that, but he also has decent footwork too. Like even with his fight against Fazeev. So Fazeev was trying to throw some kicks and he was completely out of the way of those kicks and stuff. So he's just really evasive. You know, I have partners like Neil Magny, who's extremely hard to hit. And Corey Sandhagen, I've been doing some rounds with him. He's got some fluid movement in boxing. So I get a lot of good looks. I know there's a bunch of up-and-coming guys from Team Elevation that also have that a very evasive boxing movement. So definitely well-prepared for what Bobby brings, but who knows what he's going to bring.
Are you still at Team Elevation?
Yes.
Okay. What's going on there? We're going to have to get air people's thing, but what's the something about Elliot and some other stuff. I mean, is he still there or what's going on with that?
So there was a split with Team Elevation, and not really so much a split as far as Elliot Marshall and the gym of Easton's Training Center decided to no longer host Team Elevation.
Okay.
Right. So Team Elevation, being a very nomadic team, just moved over to a gym called High Altitude.
Okay.
So it's the same team, but different walls. Gotcha. Elliot Marshall is my head coach, but he no longer coaches a team of fighters.
Okay.
So he does pretty much, he coaches Miranda, Maverick, and I, and that's pretty much it.
Okay. I got you. And then, but I mean, your other coaching staff stayed the same as well?
Pretty much. Yeah. Okay, my core team stayed the same. Team Elevation is just a good place for bodies and, just the conglomerate of Colorado's best all come together for 1 hour. Right. So Justin Gaethje's still with Trevor. I'm with Elliot.
Right.
Neil Magny's with Christian or Corey Sandhagen's with Christian. You know, it's like we all have our individual coaches, but together as a whole, we come together and trying to bounce skills off each other.
I got you. So speaking of the team, you look lean already. Like you're already starting to look leaned out. And I know, especially with your nutritionist and everything like that, obviously we had the fight announcement, but how far back did you know this was coming? Because I mean, you walk around a little bit heavier and you're already looking leaned out. So how long have we been preparing for this?
Well, one, I appreciate the compliment.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
I've been putting a lot of effort as far as just decreasing body mass.
Okay.
My last fight against Rafael Alves, man, we had a brutal weight cut. It was no fun. Right. And so we just decided that like we gotta pull back a bit. And so I started my weight descent in September, pretty much when I got back from Europe. And so we were just kind of focusing on just being mindful of my diet, my eating and cardio and all that stuff and try to start leaning out. And then we decided that we wanted to fight in December. So I started training for December 3rd.
Okay.
And so it was kind of like, we didn't have an opponent, but I'm training for December 3rd, just in case.
Right.
And and I was just waiting. And then of course, 4 weeks out of December 17th, we got somebody.
I love it. I want to talk about your trip to Europe for a second. Okay. Cause I recently started something. So I started drinking wine. I know you're a wine guy. I've been drinking beer for a long time and I'm going to be honest with you. I turned 37 last week and I'm starting to feel the effects of drinking a lot of beer for a long period of time. But I did some research and I've heard great things about the wine. However, I'm having a tough time with this transition. So I know you're a man of high class and fancy tastes And maybe our budgets align, maybe they don't. But can you kind of steer me, if you will, as a person that's transitioning from beer to wine, what I should
Get yourself some of that Snoop Dogg. Those are the 21 crimes or whatever.
It's good.
I mean, yeah, no, I dig it. Yes, I love wine, but I can't consider myself a snob because I drink box wine more than most.
But that's okay.
I drink
cheap beer. That's okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty much the equivalent of just with wine.
Okay.
And so like I like red blends, but and I'm gonna have to Google it, but it's 21 Crimes, I believe, with the Snoop Dogg in the front.
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah.
That's good stuff. Probably my higher end favorite as far as wine is Prisoner. Okay. Which is like a red blend. But I just got a case of the lead singer of Tool's wine.
Yeah.
He just sent me a victory a box, and that was pretty tasty as well. So yeah. I would say, man, to have fun with it, right? There's so many options as far as wine. Just start on the bottom of the shelf and just work your way up. And if the bottle looks cool, try it.
It's so weird, though, because it seems like there's a concentrated effort amongst all winemakers to not let you know what the wine tastes like. Like, how do I know what I'm getting? Like, it's just a bottle with like a cool logo on it. And I don't know if it's like cherry or blackberry or grapes or hints of leather. And I'm reading all these stuff and I'm like, what the hell is, I don't know what I'm reading half the time, man.
And I'll be honest, if you can taste those notes in that glass of wine, I would be impressed.
Right.
Like the first glass, I'm like, I can get a hint of, but it's still all the question. And then after the first glass, I don't care any longer. I'm like, it just tastes good.
Right. So let's talk about the Dobers do Europe. So you were you went on vacation for a while, man. How was Europe? Was it everything you hoped for? I mean, you know.
Oh yeah. Okay. It was fantastic. I've unfortunately spent a lot of time in Europe, and so I got to like figure out what I like and don't like, and so yeah. I can like focus my efforts. And we knew that this was going to be the last trip that my wife could have some wine, so we wanted to make sure we went to the spots with the good ones. So okay. We went to Barcelona, Spain, and then Rome, Italy.
Right.
And man, the people, the wine, the food, the history, the sun, like, dude, everything was fantastic except of how hot it was in August.
Really?
It was brutal. So hot.
So not to get all like existential on you, when you're walking around a place that's old and ancient like that, do you feel it? Like, is there something about it that like you feel? Because I feel like when I go into like an old church or I visit some place that's like considerably older than any other place. So I live in Charleston, which is an old city. I mean, we're talking about, you know, 1700s. There's parts where you go and it's just like, you can, like, it has a different kind of feel to it. And I'm not talking like the people, I'm talking like the energy, if you will, just feels different. Now, I've never been to Europe, but I've been to older places like in Asia, same thing. So just wondering.
Yeah, it's surreal, right? It doesn't feel like real. Like, you constantly have to like stand, look at it, and remind yourself that like, man, this building you're looking at is older than your country. Yeah. You know, it's like, holy cow, like this was. And so, man, it's like you're shocked and awed at every turn. And I'm just being like Rome, Italy. Man, we stayed in this beautiful part where it's the back alleys with the cobblestone streets. Mm-hmm. And like every time you make a turn, you're just like, you know, taken off guard by the beauty of it and like the history and the art and the, man, it's just, it's incredible. And it's so hard to explain. I just say that everyone needs to try it.
Yeah. When I lived in Japan, my wife and I, we would go, like, there's a bunch of like castle ruins everywhere. Like there used to be castles, like feudal castles everywhere in Japan. And we would go and like, you'd walk around the castle grounds and you're just like, I don't know if I should be here. Like, this feels really old, man. Like, this is like hundreds of years old. And then, you know, obviously I'd love to visit a couple spots in Europe and stuff like that. But I always like to get people's feeling on that, man. You know,
yeah. So it's intense, and it's like why I keep on going back. It's like, right. It wasn't my first time in Rome, but it sure felt like it.
Yeah,
it's, man, it, and we need to trade, because you You should go to Europe, and I've been dying to visit Japan. Like I
Yeah.
really want to see that. So you got to send me all your recommendations.
I got you, man. I got you. It was well, Uncle Sam paid for my trip, admittedly, so I was the, it wasn't I was not there. It wasn't a leisurely trip, but we were there for a little over 3 years. We were there for a long time, man. So it
So
was.
my brother-in-law was stationed in Japan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Nice.
so you give me the recommendations, you give me recommendations, I'm probably going to be there for months.
Yeah, it was a good time. It's something that my wife and I have often talked about, the logistics of trying to take my kids there once they're of age to actually appreciate it and withstand a 16-hour plane ride. But once we can get that handled, I would love to go back. I'd love to go back. I actually, my wallet's downstairs, but I still have my Japanese driver's license. I carry it around with me still.
That's so cool. How hard is it to get around? I always imagine with like such a foreign country, like it'd be
Right.
hard to just wander.
It's actually pretty walkable, really. I mean, so we were in Okinawa, which is like this, the island itself is probably smaller than Boulder. It's not very big at all. It's like 27 miles by like 5 miles at the widest. It's not a very big island. Mainland is obviously a different beast, but it's all pretty, I mean, the cities are walkable cities. And dude, like Okinawa, the cops don't even carry guns. It's a weapons-free island outside of the US military. There's literally, it's incredibly safe, wildly
Oh,
safe.
awesome.
Yeah.
Either
So
Okinawa.
yeah, Okinawa, yeah. Or
I'm gonna
Okinawa,
write
yeah.
this down somewhere.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's good. I mean, everything's covered in concrete with the exception of like some patches of jungle here and there. But I mean, it was great, man. It's like their version of it's like mainland Japan's version of like Key West or something like that. You know, I mean, it's where they go on vacation.
Oh,
So
nice.
yeah, it was cool. It's a cool spot. And the food is dynamite, which again, I was there when I was young, so I was a jerk and didn't know any better. I just wanted to eat like McDonald's, and I'm like, I want the most American thing I can get in Japan. And now, as a grown man, I'm like, I wish I was like finding the hole in the wall places where like the little like tattered sushi chef guys, like been doing it for 70 years making sushi. Like that's the guy I wish I would have sought out while I was there. But instead, I was like, take me to A&W Root Beer. I want burgers and beer. It was terrible. So, yeah.
Had the same experience in New Orleans. The
Right.
last time I was there, I was like 18, and like, yeah, I was just chilling at the Arby's or something
Yeah,
stupid.
that's what I'm
And now I'm
saying.
like, no, now I love traveling and eating food everywhere.
Right,
And I'm like,
right.
man, I missed out on New Orleans.
Yeah, they'll do a fight night there. We'll figure it out. So,
Let's hope not, because I want to make sure I can eat, right? I would love to be a guest appearance at a
yeah, of
fight night
course.
there, but I'm not trying to fight there.
So let me ask you. How does that work? Because I see this with other people, right? Like especially the event that we had last weekend. They pan to the crowd, and there's like 78 fighters that aren't fighting in the crowd. Is the UFC flying all of them out? Are they doing that on their own dime? Is that management? Like, dude, why can't we get, you and a friend cage side? I mean, what's going on here? I mean, what's the deal with it? How does that work?
I think it all depends on the event, who
Okay.
you are, and what you're doing.
Okay.
You know, if I think you're just sitting at the fights and enjoying your time, then I think it might just be on their dime. Like they just want to take advantage of that.
Right.
But if the UFC flies you out, they're going to put you to work. So I've
Yeah.
done the Las Vegas, like the VIP experience.
Okay.
So you're up there talking to people. And I've also done, I got flown out to like other places to do watch parties at a bar.
Okay.
So. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I love traveling and I love talking about fighting.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm all about the UFC, you know, putting me to work, whether I'm fighting or not.
I got you. I got you. Well, I mean, I saw your eyes light up a little bit, so I'm just gonna go ahead and say it. If you and the wife and soon to be baby Dober, I've got plenty of room. I've got six. This is not a humble brag. Well, it's a little humble brag. I have six bedrooms, and only four of them are being used. So you guys come in, we'll get you squared away, or you do the Airbnb thing. But if you want to come to Charleston, I would love to.
You gotta be careful because I'm gonna show up at your door.
Right, please just.
I like fresh fruit in the morning. Like this better be a bed and breakfast.
Listen, my dad, he doesn't listen to the show, so I'll say whatever. My dad lives like that, where like he comes out and like you better have an itinerary on things to do to entertain him. Otherwise, he's just like kind of sitting around staring at you going, All right, so what are we doing today? And you're like, well, yeah, you know, I have to work. The kids have school, all that kind of. But no, he wants he's you got to have a plan. So yeah, I got you. We'll get you squared away. No big deal.
Yeah, I'll see you for Christmas.
Yeah, sounds good. Sounds good, man. Sounds good. Well, I'll get matching pajamas. Just send over your sizes, and we'll get a whole card. All right, let's talk about fights for a couple more minutes here. I realized the other day, you know, I'm sure you've been asked a million times, but I've never asked you. All the times you and I have spoken, a question that I have not asked you: what is your favorite fight of all time? Yours, both your fight that you were involved in and your like favorite fight to watch. I know you don't watch a whole lot outside of yours, but you got to have one.
Yeah. So let's see, my favorite fight that I was a part of. Unfortunately, you're not going to be able to find evidence of this fight.
Okay.
It was the fight that got me signed by the UFC.
Is this a challenge? Like, are you challenging the interwebs to find this fight?
No. I mean, whoever owned the video that took it off the internet, so it's gone.
Oh,
man. I know, right? So now I just get to like just tell the story. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to get into the UFC, and there was a 155 undefeated champion in Colorado who was knocking people out in the first round. I mean, he was like 6-0 with 6 first round knockouts. And they said that the UFC had their eyes on him, and I just raised my hand and I was like, let's just do it. Okay. And I fought him, and the hardest I've ever been hit. The dude was a monster. He dropped me twice in the first round. And so I lost the first round for sure. And then he's never been out of the first round. So he saw that stool for the first time, started second and guessing himself. And as we know with my performances, I'm pretty gritty.
Yeah.
And so I came out in that second round and put it on him. And he couldn't rise to the occasion. Fought him for the second round, the third round. And then I won by split decision.
Is this Mr. Tony Sims?
Yeah, Tony Sims.
Prize FC. Okay. All right.
Hardest I've ever been hit, dude. That guy was like, he's a monster.
Have you ever spoken to him since the fight?
Yeah. So so after the fight, I got signed by the UFC.
Right.
And he sent me a message over Facebook or Instagram or something and said, like, hey, if you ever want to come train, we'd love to have you. And I was like, oh, absolutely. So I flew out to Denver, Colorado, trained at Team Elevation, and here I am. So Tony Sims and I were teammates.
I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's what's he do now? Do you know? Is he still
fighting? So he's retired from fighting.
Right.
He's an engineer. For as good as he is at fighting, definitely made a good decision at using his engineering degree and making more money. So
I love it.
Yeah.
That's great. All right. So favorite fight that you weren't a part of?
Krokop versus Fedor.
Really?
Yeah. In Pride. Just because I'm a huge fan of Krokop since he was in K1.
Right.
Huge fan. And Fedor Emelianenko, the last emperor, like just a monster undefeated. And so when they were in the ring, like the entire fight was just so intense to me because like it was, you know, just the two best heavyweights in the world at that time just going at it. And it was incredible.
It makes a lot of sense now with the legs. I can see you have.
Yeah, I don't know what started, but like, is it my fan because did I develop because, you know?
Yeah, you saw a little bit of yourself in him, or you modeled yourself. It's interesting. That's the
It's really a chicken or egg. Definitely doing a lot better in the UFC than he did, which is grateful.
That's true, man. I mean, to be fair, we'll see if I do as well
post retirement though, because he's in Parliament.
Yeah, is he really? Is that what he's doing now?
I think so, yeah.
Oh,
he went from being a police officer to now a politician.
I mean, so by default, if you run for... Okay, let's just get this out of the way. If you run for office, I mean, I'll vote for you because you're my friend, but you should know that I don't have a lot of love for those in the political sphere. So, you know.
I don't either. I mean,
okay, fair enough.
I mean, I would struggle hard. I'll be like, if my name is on the ballot, do not check that one.
Mine's on the ballot every year because I write myself in. For most elections, I just write myself in just because, you know.
You're going to get one vote now. I'm dude, just gonna always put your name in.
I would love nothing more than like if we somehow, you know, the next presidential election, like if I could just somehow coordinate a listener in every state to write my name in. I wonder if something would like if that would somehow trigger something in a database. I would love that. Now, see, you got my gears turning here. I can. My wife's going
to
be like,
"You're not going to be able to fly."
Yeah,
you're just going to be on a list somewhere.
Right. I'm already on a list, man. My FBI agent loves it when you come on the show because this is the most behaved I am is when you're on here. Because I can't have your face attached to the things that I say when you're here. So I can't do that to you. All right. So December 17th, the weight looks good. You feel good, training good. I want to talk about one more thing before I cut you loose. Did you watch Kevin Holland versus Wonder Boy?
I did not.
Are you going to go back?
I got the highlights, so hopefully I can get this question.
Well, no, I was just going to ask. So Wonder Boy says he broke his left hand in the first round. Holland said he broke his somewhere at the end of the first, beginning of the second. Then ultimately the broken hand is what stopped the fight. Holland said he couldn't carry on. I mean, he was on the bad end of a beating anyway, but he ultimately, you know, with the hand. I've had a couple boxer breaks. I mean, you got the mitts on you too. I know that you go into fights banged up, but there's been a lot of hubbub lately about fighters going into fights either compromised or otherwise. In particular, TJ Dillashaw, Derek Minner, the whole James Krause thing, all that going on. Is that something that you see in your experience? Guys going into fights probably when they shouldn't be, or taking a way out once they're in? I mean, what's your assessment on that?
Yeah, and I mean, just because I'm such a huge fan of you and the show, I'm going to give you some full disclaimers. But yeah, I'm notorious for doing it.
Yeah.
The fighter pay isn't enough for us to take that much time off and to protect our bodies, right? We only get paid to show up in the cage.
Yeah.
And you know, we don't get any like medical help either. You know, we have accidental insurance with the UFC, but it has to be fight related. So we got to do some fight related stuff to make sure that it's covered. And you know, it's just one of those things where like eventually it's going to change, probably not in my career, but it will change to where, man, if you want guys coming in at 100%, you got to take care of them.
Yeah.
And it's not the UFC. It's just the MMA as a whole. It's still fairly new.
Right.
You know, it came along 1993. It hasn't been around for a while.
Yeah.
They have the revenue for it. So it's going to change eventually. But as of now, the fighters are just looking out for themselves. And the only way we can do it is, you know, we make the weight, step in the cage, perform at our best, and we know we're getting paid and we're getting insurance, you know. What I wanted to say with the full disclaimer is so I went into that Terrence McKinney fight with a torn LCL.
I know you did. I didn't say anything to anybody about that, but I know you did.
It is what it is, right? Like it was tolerable. Like I was able to like move around on it. It wasn't like, you know, but it's just one of those things where like I'm not saying no to this fight. I'm not pulling out because one, I want this paycheck. Two, I want this opportunity. And three, I want some doctor to look at my LCL and not on my
dime.
Yeah.
I hate that for you though, man. And that it has to be like that. I know you're not saying that from a negative perspective, but I'm just my thought goes to I wish that there was a better system in place for that. I know I keep saying it's the last thing, but I did bring him up and it is the hot button topic. Do you think as far as the Krause thing goes with TJ, I know TJ and Krause aren't connected, but this whole thing is connected. Do you think that there's some impropriety there with like TJ fighting hurt, like disclosing the shoulder injury, but then you take Krause and you take the Derek Minner line. And I don't know how much you know about that, but Derek Minner was a little bit of an underdog going into that fight. And then like 2 hours prior, he became a massive underdog. He goes out there, takes one kick and then grabs his knee and says his leg hurts. And meanwhile, Krause is running a betting Discord, you know, where he's giving betting tips. And that was one of his fighters. So, I mean, is that all circumstantial? People just going in fighting hurt? Or do you think things get a little dicey at times?
Yeah, I know. I think fighters don't hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've been around a gym, it's common knowledge that you never go into a fight 100%. Like, there's always bumps, bruises, bangs, and stuff like that. Now, it's just the problem of is fighting injured, right? Like, it's not a bruise. It's not anything you can just
Right.
tolerate. Like, this
Right.
is like a major thing on your body. And eventually there's going to be some things set in place to kind of protect the athletes, because I think it's in the UFC's best interest to have their
Sure.
fighters perform at their best, right? You don't, it's only going to be up and up, right? Like,
Right.
the healthier you are, the harder you're going to fight, the more entertaining the fights are going to be, and all that other stuff. And so but also, fighters are kind of not the most intelligent group, right? Like, the reason we're fighters is because we couldn't be athletes anywhere else, right? Like,
No, come on, huh?
you can't see me throw and catch a ball. Like, if I could do
Bro.
anything else, I probably would have. But
Yeah.
no, I'm just saying, like, fighters are going to get injured, and they're probably going to try to ignore it. It's going to be marginally better if when the UFC has like some things set in place to kind of help the athletes, which they're doing with the PI and all that stuff. But then again, we're still looking out for ourselves because we're independent contractors.
So looking out for yourself, would you ever bet on yourself? I mean, not that you can't now. So I'll just add, like, would you ever bet on yourself to win a fight?
No, because I already have extra pressure to get that
Yeah.
second paycheck, right? I'm
Right.
trying to get that win bonus. Like, I'm not
Yeah.
trying to then put money, like, put more pressure. Even my wife was like, "Yeah, should I bet on you?" I was like, "No, like trying not to disappoint you is pressure enough. Like, don't bet on me." Or the
So
people that tell me all the time, they're like, "Oh, you just won me money," or this and that. I
yeah.
was like, "Well, one, you have a gambling problem, and two, I want that 10%."
I'll send you t-shirts, bro. I mean, that's really all I got. I mean, I'll get you some shirts and some stickers. I mean, I'll do what I can, you know what I mean?
My life is a gamble. I don't want to waste any more of that.
No, we'll get you. I still got to get you a housewarming gift anyway.
Was.
All right, so we got a question in the chat for you here. Do you think Makhachev was the best fighter you've ever faced?
Best all-around fighter. Yes. Yeah. He was, I wouldn't say like the most like fearful. Like, I wasn't afraid I was gonna get damaged, but the most completed fighter. Like, I felt like there I had no way of turning that fight around. Like, I was smothered, and there wasn't much I could do. So yes.
Is that one that you want back? I mean, is that something, you know, that you watch him and you're like, man, I want that one back? Or do you just go, I'll just fight whoever's next?
Not soon. Not soon. I'm still trying to figure out, like, me and the rest of the division are trying to figure out the answer to that problem. And I don't think we've figured it out yet. So, do I want the rematch? Yes. Do I want it now? No.
You think Volkanovski's got the answer for that? That's a
I
weird
don't know,
matchup.
man. I have Islam winning it.
Yeah, I agree. That's weird. See, those of you who are uninitiated, Drew very rarely gives any prediction on any fight whatsoever. So you saying outright that
I mean, I told you guys that Islam was going to beat Charles Oliveira, and he
you
beat
didn't.
Charles faster than he beat me.
I with the exception of Martins knocking him out, I would say that you're his toughest test to date. I mean,
Yeah.
the Sarukian fight was good too, but I mean, you gave him. I mean, it was not a walk in the park. So, all right, I'm gonna let you go, man, because
We have
you're
more
all.
questions. I just have one question. Let's see if we can pop up on some more.
Okay. Well, shoot, I don't know, man. Matt says, sub Drew Dobes when chilling my brother Drew Tobes, which Matt, his last name, I believe, is Tobes or Tobler.
Well done.
All right. Obviously, this answer could change over time, but how much longer do you plan to fight? 34 isn't super old, so you still got plenty of time. How long are you thinking? 5, 6 years?
Oh man, have you seen Stephen Thompson, Glover Teixeira hitting that 4-0?
Dude.
I have forever been a late bloomer. I mean, when I was 25, I looked like I was 18, and I don't look bad at 34 either. So I think I got some more time. I think I got more time than people predict.
Yeah. Now, with that being said, you pursuing fan-friendly fights, do you think that that works to extend the career or potentially shorten it?
Neither, I don't think. One, I mean, like to answer it with everyone else, like I think it would definitely shorten your life. However, from my trajectory since I hit 30, it's been up and up and up. And like, I feel better now than I did at 25. Like, I'll be completely honest. 34 feels great. And man, if I keep this feeling going, then we're just gonna keep on, keep it on. So, and man, I got Neanderthal variants. I got this big head with a jaw. Like, I feel like I'm built for this, so I'm not gonna let it go to waste.
Yeah. Here's one for you. When will Drew start his OnlyFans?
I may or may not have already started it.
Oh,
So,
man.
no, I'm just kidding. Problem is, like, I'm not trying to have these conversations. Like, I'll post the pictures, but OnlyFans, I feel like people want to like talk to you and stuff. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I could just deal with that.
It's very strange, right? Like, okay, let's talk about the, I got a question for you. Talk about people want to talk to you. I've asked Miranda, I asked Haley, I've asked all the female guests that come on what their DMs are like, and they say it's a nightmare. It's a straight horror movie. I know things have probably changed a little bit. I'm not trying. I'm not going to get you in trouble here. But what are your DMs like? Is it just chaos?
I
Or
wouldn't say
was
this.
it chaos? Was it?
I mean, yeah, sometimes some of those are. My wife and I, we laugh at it. Like,
I bet.
they're pretty funny. The thing is, though, being a heterosexual male, only men send the grotesque messages, right?
Really?
Like women are, they're hit or miss, right? Like, but it's always the men, right? And like, I don't know, like, straight or not straight, or I don't know what their deal is, but yeah, the men are the and so being a female fighter, they're definitely getting worse messages than I get.
For sure. Yeah, I it was really just sort of like two of the more off-putting segments of talking to anybody that I've ever had to tell their stories for them. Somebody offered Haley $10,000 for her shoes, her wrestling shoes. And then Miranda, she'll have to tell you this story. Somebody, I think in Afghanistan, offered to fly her and her dad out so that she could beat him up. Like he just wanted her to beat him up at like some weird Afghani town. Very strange, man.
I mean,
People are.
I don't think it's just the Middle East, man. I just watched a documentary of like these female bodybuilders just getting paid money to just like wrestle other dudes. Like women aren't paying me to wrestle them. Like, it's only the guys that are paying, right? But I think I get more stuff in person, right? So there's not like actual evidence of the conversation. I get more creepy stuff in person.
Can you give me any example? Just
Well,
as a
lots of
dude, I'm never hit on, so give me an example of what this looks like, because that's just never.
I mean, last time I was in Vegas, my team just loved the scenario. We just went out to for like a team dinner, and the older guy comes up to our table and was like, "Do you guys know the guy with the square jaw and the bulge in his pants?" And then Elliot Marshall immediately points in my direction. She goes, "Oh yeah, that's the guy. My wife loves you. She would love for you to just come over, and we just want to take a picture with you."
Oh
And
my gosh.
by the way, they didn't know I was a fighter. Like, I'm not famous in their eyes at all, right? I'm just some guy with a square jaw and a bulge in my pants that
Oh
the
no.
70-year-old wife wanted to take a picture. Like, Elliot just thought he was gonna just say goodbye to me for the night. Like, I was apparently just this old
Bro.
couple's toy for the day. But
Dude.
yeah, and I just had to explain to the table, unfortunately, that's not my first rodeo. Like, I was like, yeah, I get inappropriate stuff in person all the time.
I mean, they were the meme. They were like the, hey, me and the wife spotted you across the bar. We really like your vibe. Like, that's what it was.
That's pretty, and like approached my table of fighters and went,
Bro.
"You're the guy with the bulge." I'm like, "Oh,
Dude.
am I?"
Oh man. I can't believe it's being brought back up again. Somebody's gonna be mad at me for doing this, but it brings back up the chair in the hotel room. Are you aware of the theory of why there is one chair in the hotel room?
I know, what is the theory?
The theory is that they call it the cuck chair. That's where the dude watches. That's why there's only one chair and it's always facing the bed.
Oh, I thought that was just the disappointed wife chair.
The dude,
The husband's
trying to
fast asleep, and the wife's just watching TV on their chair.
No, sir. No, sir. That's the Watcher. That's the Watcher's location.
Yeah. Only in Vegas, man.
I'm telling you.
That place.
I'm telling you, man. Well, to be fair, if you go to like a Super 8 off the side of the highway outside of Memphis, it's still there. That chair still exists no matter where you're at. It's not just
I know there. Everywhere. Actually, funny story. I don't know how to begin this story other than with my trip to Europe.
Okay.
I found out that apparently you're not allowed in Europe if your passport expires within 3 months.
Okay.
Unfortunately, my passport was. So we weren't going to be allowed in Europe. And okay. It's the week of our trip.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh, so I drove to like the passport agency and obviously they're booked up and like this and that, this and that. I was like, all right, I need to get a passport renewal. What is your next available appointment? And they're right. Seattle, Washington, tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. I was like, book it. And whoa. So I drove home. My wife was trying to console me like, hey, it's okay. We'll book it another time. I was like, no, you got to drive into the airport because I'm going to Seattle. And so I fly to Seattle. And of course, I just had to book a real quick days in.
Right.
And man, the days in, we're talking about like trashed cars in front. I walked into someone else's room because they gave me a key to someone else's room. The dude almost like beat me up. Like it was just a trash days in to a point where like I finally make it to mine. And I feel like there's somebody that was murdered in this room. It was that bad. But of course, they had that lone chair. Which yeah. I had to use to prop yeah. against the door
yeah.
to make sure I didn't go missing that night.
Dude, I think you and I stayed at the same Days
Inn. It might be all Days Inn. That just might be the niche.
It was like 2.5 years ago. I went to Seattle. I was there for a week, and it was like, it was probably 25 minutes from the airport. I cannot remember what the town was like. It wasn't like, but I flew into.
We might have stayed at the same one.
I flew into SeaTac. And it was like 25 minutes away.
Yeah.
Gosh, well, I can't. I'll DM it to you. But it was like a little sub town just right outside of SeaTac, and I stayed in a very murdery Days Inn or Holiday Inn. I'll have to look it up, dude. It was exactly that. Everything was wet, super greasy. My room was real bad, like real bad. There was
but they have the lone chair.
The chair was there for sure.
They have the lone chair.
The chair was there. Yeah. Yeah. It was there. Matt, come on, man. He just said Tony Sims, bro. Come on, man.
Damn it, Matt.
Come on, Matt. Step your game up. No. All right, buddy. Last but not least, completely off topic. How's your mom? Is she excited for grandbaby?
Oh, man. She's stoked.
Yeah.
Man, like, she's been waiting for this day for the longest time. I was going to say. Oh yeah, she's practically moving here.
Like, I guess say you finished the basement, right? So yeah. You got to get her in.
It's called the in-law suite.
Right.
It's where she's gonna be, and so when me and my wife visit Japan, she's watching the baby in the basement.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. All right, I'm gonna let you rock, man. I appreciate you coming on. Do you wanna stop by and say hey after the fight too, or do you wanna
absolutely. Okay.
All right, cool. So we'll
colorful and everything.
Let's get let's do after Christmas because you're fighting on the 17th and you're.
Let's do the Tuesday after the fight.
All right. I will. Okay. Fine.
You got to get it fresh, right? I need to be still swollen by the time we interview.
You're not going to be swollen at all because we're this is 45 seconds of work and then you're out of there. Bing bang. That's it. That's it. 45
fingers
seconds.
Crossed, but
listen, I'm just calling how I see it. I gamble you don't. Fight,
especially this year.
Yeah. That's all right. Man. Well, all the same. All right. So the Tuesday after, so that'll be what, like the 20th, 21st, something like that. All right, cool. Yeah. All right. So we'll talk to you then. And then a nice little Christmas present for everybody. So, all right. Tell everybody I said hi. Give my best to your wife, your mom. Cheers to you, man. I'm super happy for you. And I can't wait to see, you know, I get very excited for you on come fight night. So, I'm pumped for you, man.
Thanks, man.
Life's great for you.
Let me get this Bobby Green done and over with and make sure you get those pajamas for Christmas. So
again, I'll hit you up. Send me the sizes. Fresh fruit. I'll get a nice little berry blend and send me over your sizes and we'll get something done. Squared away for you. So, all right, buddy. Take care. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, bud. Have a good night.
All right. We'll see you, man. That's my man. That's my dude. I just, Find something better. Just find it. Go ahead. I love that guy. I really do. Good people. Good people, Mr. Dober. And we'll see what we can do. All right. We got UFC 282 taking place this weekend. I'm going to be honest with you. Hit up my man Nichols, and he was like, Dale, what spots do you like this weekend? And I was like, I like about five of them, six of them, tops, some weird fights. We're going to run through these. We're going to run through these ones pretty quick. I liked last event. Those of you that tailed last event, cheers to you. Cheers to you. I got some hot tea in here keeping the pipes wet tonight. 14 units last weekend. Event before that, you say, Dale, well, how'd we do? Oh, we did 12 and a half. So I'm going to be honest with you. If you tailed the last 2 weeks, Christmas is good. Christmas is real good. So I'm a big fan of what we got going on. That being said, I want to address something. Austin says, betting the house on Drew, I don't care what he says. Thanks for giving us an hour of your time and stopping in. I will also be betting Drew rather large. I've already got a play in. He opened at a minus 150. I think he's minus 165 right now. I want to see what way that line goes. If they're going to keep giving to me at a better price, I'm going to keep taking them. If not, I'll play him at whatever I can get. But I've already got one play in on him. So we'll see. I mean, obviously, I have to bet on him anyway because that's my dude. But you know how it is. So last weekend, we crushed. We crushed. So let me just pull this up real quick. Those of you that didn't follow along, this is the night started out a little shaky, if I'm being honest with you. Things were a little dicey right off the rip. But we turned it around in epic fashion. One of the things that I've been realizing is just trying to pick the spots and just unloading better at those spots, right? So what hit this last weekend that did so well? We took Pavlovich money line, Dalidze money line, and Eric Anders money line, all of which hit. Took Eric Anders versus Kyle Daukaus. We took Anders by KO sub. We were getting that at plus 600. Plus 600. I have been telling you, and I'm going to say it again because we're going to breeze through these fights real quick. The Daukaus brothers are softer than duck shit. And Kyle Daukaus is coming off his whole face being broken by Roman Dalidze. And you're going to put him in there against a grown man meathead in Eric Anders. Have you heard Eric Anders talk? Have you seen the size of his head? What was Kyle Daukaus going to do? Going out there looking like that pale, soft, biscuit gravy, grasshopper looking thing. Dude, what was he supposed to do against Eric Anders? Nothing. Eric Anders goes out there, gets it done. Now, do I believe that the fight was going his way? Yeah. Yeah, I think the fight was going Eric's way, but you know what really set things apart? When Eric Anders took the crown of that giant head of his and smashed it into Kyle Daukaus' reconstructed face. That was an inadvertent headbutt. It was not intentional. But boy, when you get that melon moving with that level of mass, that changed the whole trajectory of Kyle Daukaus' life. I mean, that just changed everything. That whole fight got flipped, turned upside down like the Fresh Prince as soon as they hit him. It was over with. There was nothing he was going to do after that. He was rocked. And Eric Anders got to, I mean, Division I athlete, national champion, University of Alabama. Kyle Daukaus ain't hitting harder than that. What I think is the future of Anders, I think Eric Anders has got two or three fights left and it's over with. Real quick. Producer Jake, do you have ads popping up in the background or is that me that's got ads coming through? Okay. I have an ad somewhere in my back that's coming up. That's like Zillow or something like that. I don't know where it's coming from. I keep hearing like 30 seconds at a time. I hope it's not coming through on the stream. Okay. Anders will probably be around for two or three more fights. And then he's rolling out. Eric Anders, Has a bunch of rental properties, and his wife is a, or was a, is a professional bodybuilder, and they have a gym and some other businesses. Eric Anders has done well for himself. He's put that University of Alabama education to use for him. So good on him. All right. Fade the docs as always. Women's TKO with Yasmin was inevitable. Yes, that was another play that we had under 2.5 there. Let me finish running through these plays real quick. Nico Price versus Phil Rowe. Fight doesn't go to decision. A little sweaty on that one for being a minus 200, if we're being honest. A little bit sweaty. Pavlovich by KO sub. Course, fight doesn't go the distance between Nunes and Uruguay. Yes, under 4.5 on Thompson and Kevin Holland. Again, a little sweaty, but we ultimately hit it. Things that we missed on: Angela Hill versus Emily Ducote, someone to win by split decision. I went with that. I did that instead of taking Angela Hill money line, which I realize violates my own rule. And every time I violate my own rules, what happens? The universe humbles me. So I was not surprised to lose that because I got too cute. Things that I saw that really hurt a lot of people: JSP not finishing Darren Elkins, which would have been the linchpin in a plus 210 parlay I had set up. We needed over 1.5 on the Hill Ducote fight. That hit. We needed Tuivasa and Pavlovich doesn't go to distance. Thompson, Holland doesn't go to decision. And then JSP, Elkins not to go to decision. All violence all the time. That was at a plus 210. JSP is the only one that missed. What really screwed people: Mark DeCasey and Scott Holtzman screwed a lot of people, myself included. So anyway, here we are. We got a couple great spots we're going to exploit this week. Let's see here. Nico Price, yeah, him getting beat up in front of his friends and family. Yikes. Let's talk about the James Krause thing real quick. It's inevitable, right? It's inevitable. You cannot. It's classic narcissism / slime ball rolled into one. When you're a narcissistic slime ball, you create these situations where you think that you're just untouchable with things. If those of you recall, you listen to the episode I had with Lou. When Lou was on, he was saying that he was already kind of privy, had some people that were in the know on some things, that there was things turning behind the curtain on Krause. And then lo and behold, a couple weeks later, we see things elevating real quick. Even local promotions now are starting to push back against Krause. Problem with this: when it comes to impropriety, you never want to be the first one, right? You never want to be the first one because you're the one they make the example out of, right? You're always the one they make the example out of because they want to use you as a deterrent for anybody else that's thinking it. So my man put it all on the line. Thought his shit didn't stink. He cost a lot of people a lot of money and say cost somebody some money that he probably shouldn't have. And now here they are. They're going to hang him out to dry. He will be a pariah for the rest of his career. There will be no James Krause redemption story here. My man is in the wind. The fact that he isn't saying anything to me would indicate that either he's way further in over his head than we know, or he's already been contacted by the proper people and his being advised by legal counsel to shut up, because if you say or do anything, things are going to get worse for you than they already are. So if functionally speaking, James Krause in the MMA space is probably dead in the water, just the way it is. So yeah. Mark fade Casey. Yeah. Fading to Casey forever. Yeah. Yeah. The fight IQ that we all lauded him for two fights just disappeared. Dude had a Discord for $50 a month with 2,000 people in it. That's gone. Was making $1 million+ a year. And now that is gone. Maybe. Yeah. I mean, maybe in that sense. I mean, that revenue stream is gone doesn't mean he's not making that money anymore. If he was making that to begin with, chances are, like the whole old mob saying, everybody's got to pay somebody, right? Everybody's paying somebody. So he may have, that Discord may have been making a mill if it stayed around for a year, which it didn't, but on paper the sheet says it would have made that. But James Krause is paying somebody. I mean, it has to be, right? Like everybody's got a boss. Everybody's got a boss. And especially when it comes to stuff like this, you're not just hanging out in the wind, just living it up untouchable, right? So Anyway, let's get after it real quick. Where was I at? We're going to talk about fights. We're going to do the main card real quick. I'm trying to keep this within reason because I know you guys like longer shows, something like shorter shows. It's just very hard to please in general, but it doesn't matter. We had a main event drop off. Obviously, the main event we all wanted in Glover versus Jiří is not happening, but I will commend Jiří Prochazka. The dude just can't stop making fans. Never seen a guy lose his belt and make more fans, even though he didn't really lose it. He just set it aside, said, I'm not going to hold up the division. I'll win this shit back whenever I come back anyway. Just go ahead and take it. You guys let him fight. Okay. So now we got Jan Blachowicz versus Magomed Ankalaev. Essentially, Polish dad versus Krampus for the light heavyweight belt of the world. We'll see what happens. I hate to go against the Polish power, but we're talking about a Cox Mountain Warrior here, so we'll see. All right, let's run through these fairly quickly. First fight on the main card, Bryce Mitchell versus Ilya Topuria. Topuria 12-0, Bryce Mitchell 15-0. Mitchell to plus 115, Topuria to minus 133, over on rounds 2.5. Early, Topuria, later, Bryce. I've been fading Bryce for a while now. Faded him in the Barboza fight. He proved me wrong. He's got some dog in him. Only thing I don't like between that fight and now is he's got a girlfriend. Women make the legs soft, right? Make you weak in the knees. Topuria, I don't know if Topuria wanted this fight, so I don't know how motivated he is coming into it. Bryce Mitchell obviously is worth a stab at the underdog money. Like Tim says right here, he got Bryce at plus 165. That's a much more enticing price for me. Sometimes plays are based on where you can get them at. Over 2.5. Okay. Topuria hits hard. That's really kind of my only sort of when it comes to that. Is he cracks. And we see that Bryce has got a little power on him too. So it's, I don't know, man. Maybe I'll play like an alternate line and use it as like a parlay piece, like over 1.5, and I'll throw it in a parlay with something else that I'm more confident in. It's just my initial sort of thinking when it comes to that. I'm looking to see available lines on anything else for that fight right now. And let's see here. Over 1.5 is minus 205. Fight doesn't go to decision minus 125. I like both of those more as parlay pieces. So let's see here. Mitchell will be in plaid or camo. If he's in camo, it's worth the push. Topuria finish. He's not Barboza. I will agree with that. He's a formidable adversary. I would ask you to go back, Austin, and rewatch the Yusuf Zalal fight and see if you think that Bryce Mitchell can't present similar problems with the scrambles and the cardio. So something to consider. All right. Initial leaning, I'm on Bryce. Initial leans, I'm on Bryce here, which kills me to fade a Georgian fighter. You guys know this. It almost feels blasphemous for me to go against a Georgian fighter. Darren Till, Dricus Duplessis at 17-2. Darren Till at 18-4. This fight is arguably the hardest one for me to call. I continually fade Dricus, and he's made me eat my words. I am just not convinced with his skill set, man. I'm just not. He hits very hard, good physique, good speed, athletic, all of these things. Carries the hands low. Nothing's really sharp. Nothing sticks out to me. It's like, this guy is dominant in any one thing, or he's going to outperform anybody in any one way better than that. He's got that intangible though, where he figures out ways to win fights. Darren Till, on the other hand, I pegged Darren Till 7 years ago as being a future welterweight champ of the world. And I really thought that was going to happen with the Tyron Woodley fight. And obviously the whole thing has shifted since then. Betting on Darren Till is like betting a prop bet for someone to hit a home run. There's going to be four chances throughout the course of the contest where he could make something happen. And if it doesn't happen in those four chances, it's never going to happen. He's just not a guy that you can count on to just put it together for any prolonged period of time. Now, will training with Khamzat and spending time in Thailand and doing all these things, will it help? Maybe. Inside the distance here is where I'm thinking. Let these two white warriors bang it out. Just let them get after it, right? Side note, Darren Till, arguably the worst tattoo in the UFC. And people go, oh, what about Darren Elkins and the damage? What about the damage? Darren Till's tattoo is awful. It's awful. As a person with a lot of tattoos, just the fundamentals of Darren's tattoo is real bad. At least with the damage, it's just you. It's straightforward. You know what you're getting, right? It's like just a McDonald's cheeseburger. It doesn't pretend to be something it's not. It's just an ugly tattoo. Darren Till got a portrait on him of somebody who thought they were doing some high class artwork shit on him, and it looks real bad. All right, Santiago Ponzinibbio taking on Alex Morono. Morono at 22-7. Ponz at 28-6. Morono stepping in on 5 days' notice to take this fight. You guys know how I feel about Alex Morono. I've talked about it a lot. Very cerebral. He's a coach first, fighter second. So he approaches everything, able to see things maybe in a slowed down state inside the fight and able to execute on them rather well. That being said, Santiago Ponzinibbio, full camp, ready to rock and roll. Morono doesn't present a power threat, doesn't necessarily present a submission threat. Hopefully won't present the cardio threat. That's really kind of the only thing I see him beating Ponz at with full camp. Cardio would be Morono's advantage here. Should be a Ponz steamroll. It really should be a Ponz steamroll. What makes me nervous is seeing the lines right now. Morono not as big of a dog as I thought. Interesting. And that may be some recency bias against Santiago Ponzinibbio, but I'll take Ponzinibbio here. Probably small money line play. Don't love him as like a parlay anchor or anything like that. If you're into DraftKings, he might be part of somebody you want to throw on DraftKings because Morono can be finished. And again, Ponz full camp. So something to consider. Let's see here. Co-main event of the evening, Patty Pimblett, 19-3, Jared Gordon at 19-5. Gordon at the over plus 200, right? Patty Pimblett minus 250. This is, I can't figure out why anybody would play Patty at this price. Why would you do that? He could maybe knock out Jared. Jared's got a giant head on a skinny neck. Maybe. But stylistically, I think this is kind of a bad matchup for Patty because if he can't rock Jared early and get him out of there, Gordon will grind him out. Like, he's just going to grind him. This will be really ugly. This will be really ugly. Like, Jared Gordon will lose fans on this fight. One, because it'll be so boring if he wins, because he will win in boring fashion. And two, it'll win by, like, dismantling the hype train that is Patty Pimblett. So this is a lose. It's a lose-lose for Jared Gordon, really. It really is, because if he wins this fight, he won't do so in fun fashion. Like Drew wanted this fight. Drew would stand to make something out of this because he'll put on an exciting fight. So even if he beats Patty, it's doing so in exciting fashion. So you're derailing hype. That gets you a little bit of little energy, right? And then you're doing so by exciting fashion. Jared Gordon will grind Patty into the ground for 3 rounds. It'll be ugly and tedious and people will be pissed. Not to mention the MMA God said we had such an exciting event last weekend, we're going to get a ton of judges involved this week. That's just the way they do it. They balance things out. All things perfectly balanced, as they should be, right? So, main event of the evening, Magomed Ankalaev, Jan Blachowicz. Oh, I'm leaning Jared Gordon there, by the way, if you, weren't grabbing that. Jan Blachowicz, 29-9, Magomed Ankalaev, 18-1. Ankalaev's big favorite, minus 255, Blachowicz plus 215. Big show experience goes to Jan Blachowicz. I think Ankalaev's got a little bit of quit in him, but technical, at range, big cage. He should beat the shit out of Jan. He should pump that front kick to Jan's belly. If he can avoid the hooks on the exchanges, like at the end of the exchanges, one of the things that I love about Jan Blachowicz always ends every combination with one more punch than you think, right? As long as Jan stays throwing punches in bunches, stays in the combo, stays throwing combos, he's wildly dangerous. When he headhunts, that's when things get real bad. Interested to see if he tries to take Ankalaev down, because we've seen that Ankalaev can get himself in some disadvantageous positions once he's on the ground. But front kicks to the body, jabs at range, beat up Jan's nose. Jan's on the bad side of 30 here. I got Ankalaev. I just can't go against Cox Mountain Warrior. I'm going against Jan Blachowicz. Oh my gosh. Lord forgive me. I'm going against the Polish fighter and I'm going against a Georgian fighter. I'm going to get humbled. I can feel it. The freaking MMA gods are going to be like, you've forgotten your ancestors, son. Time for me to teach you a lesson. All right. Let's run through the prelims real quick. Cameron Simon taking on Steven Kozlow. Both these guys finish fights. Inside the distance is where we're at here. Just inside the distance is where we're at. Vinicius Salvador taking on Daniel Da Silva. Da Silva at 11-4, Salvador at 14-4. Daniel Da Silva has lost three in a row. He gets finished. Salvador, add him to your DraftKings lineups. He's going to get a finish. TJ Brown, 16-9, taking on Eric Silva. Eric Silva's 9-1. TJ Brown, I mean, this fight's basically at a pick 'em right now. The wrestling of TJ makes it interesting. It's probably a pass for me. Leaning more towards the over 1.5 here. I think we're in for a lot of grinder fights here. Irrelevant from the actual fight, but I watched some of Jared Gordon's interview. Dude really went through some shit. Thank you for saying that. Brings me to my sub prop bet that we always put, is how many times they will mention Jared Gordon's substance abuse throughout the course of the fight night. I think we usually put it at 2, so we'll leave it at 2. Always leave it at 2. Magomed has more options. I will take a fighter who can have a plan B. Yeah, for sure. Let's see here. And then let's see here. Billy Q, Alexander Hernandez. Hernandez at 13-5, Q at 16-4, taking place at featherweight. Alexander Hernandez going to try to make that weight. Billy Q minus 160. And this is one of my spots that we're talking about. Like, when I was getting into this, it's one of my spots. I like Billy Q here. Billy Q's a gamer, man. He's a gamer. He'll grind. He will take you to the deep water. He will be in your face, and we've seen Alexander Hernandez. He does not like to be put on the back foot. He doesn't like being pressured. He doesn't like it. If he gets dominant in the wrestling, Billy Q could have some issues, but I will bet on what's more likely to happen versus what could happen. What's most likely to happen is Q keeps him on the back foot, beats him up maybe a round 3 stoppage, end of round 2, round 3, Billy Q by decision. That's what I see happening. That seems to be the most likely outcome here. All right. Chris Curtis, Joaquin Buckley. Buckley at 15-5. Curtis at 29-9. Experience, currency of combat. Chris Curtis has it in spades. Plus 140 on Joaquin Buckley at minus 160. My only problem with Chris Curtis is sometimes he checks out of fights. Buckley's been fighting with a chip on his shoulder lately. Very angry. Low fight IQ, but very angry lately. And he can crack. I'm inclined to lean. I know it's at 2.5, but I like the over 1.5 as a potential parlay piece for a little bit more chalk. But Joaquin Buckley should win this fight, right? Should win this fight. Chris Curtis, and he comes on strong, the body work. Buckley can't get him out of there early. Curtis might be game for a late finish. Okay. Edmund Shahbazyan taking on Dolce Longhi and Bulla at 11-5. Edmund Shahbazyan at 11-3. I'm going to just go ahead and say this. Longhi and Bulla is worth your money at plus 235 because he just hits so freaking hard. He just hits so hard. Edmund Shahbazyan is no longer with Ronda Rousey's Edmund Targaryen or whatever his name was. He switched things up. But Dolce just hits so hard. He's worth a spot at plus 235. He's just worth it. Is he the better mixed martial artist? No. Should Edmund win this fight? Yeah, he probably should. But dude, he just hits so damn hard. I mean, he's just a ball of muscle and energy and pure athleticism. And he can crack Shahbazyan. And Shahbazyan's coming off ugly losses. And if you can get him doubting himself or have him feel some physical pain, he might quit out on you. So Dolce is worth a small stab at plus 235. There's not a lot of plus 200 dogs on this card outside of Jared Gordon that I would say are worth your consideration. Dolce is one of them. Jared Gordon definitely is. Dolce is worth a smaller play as well. Let's see here. And then last but not least, Jay Perrin at 10-6 taking on Raul Rosas at 6-0. Rosas at a minus 230. Perrin at a plus 195. Perrin's a meme, right? People think that he's not good enough to be in the UFC and that this Rosas kid is going to just smash him. It is a grown man fighting a teenager. Keep that in mind. And Jay Perrin believes that he has the leg up on this. He mutual experience with Rosas and thinks that he's going to dog walk this kid. I'm not going to tell him he's wrong. I mean, no grown man wants to get beat up by a kid. But Vegas ain't no fool either. So either they're steaming this line trying to trap suckers. I don't know. I might just pass, to be honest with you, or go inside the distance. Let's go inside the distance here. Let's just take this inside the distance. Go see if Rosa memes the meme. And if he doesn't, he'll probably be dog-ass tired doing it. Fight doesn't go to decision. Minus 115. That's the play here. That's my play. Minus 115. Fight doesn't go to decision. I would lean Rosa, but I'll go minus 115. It's also Dana White Contender Series fade. Maybe I lean Perrin. I don't know. All right. Let me run through them real quick. Again, just the initial leans, not reflective of what you'll see on the card on Saturday night. If you want to see my full card on Saturday night, I'll try to go back to posting on Instagram here soon. I'm trying to let my community violation. Oh, I forgot Jairzinho Rozenstruik versus Chris Daukaus. I'm sorry. Rozenstruik over soft-ass Chris Daukaus. You already knew that. But Rozenstruik inside the distance. Then you get Rozenstruik KO like plus 125. Ah, give me my money. Give me my money, dude. Plus the other Daukaus brother just lost. That's in big Daukaus's head. Little brother just got beat up. Now I got to go out there and fight this Surinamian, whatever they are. Nah, man. That ain't it. That ain't you, Chris Daukaus. You and your brother, your shitty tattoos, Philadelphia. All right. Just leans. Like I said, I'm going to try to go back to post on Instagram once the community violations die down a little bit. One of you little snakes in the grass keeps reporting me. So I got to let it chill for a little bit. So leans, Simon, Salvador, Brown, Q, Buckley, Dolce, Rosa, Rozenstruik, Mitchell, Duplessis, Pons, Gordon, Ankalaev. Those are my leans. Like my man Nichols here says, do not push Shahbazyan in parlays. I agree. I appreciate everybody that tunes in the show. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for engaging with Drew. Thanks for making this something that he likes doing. I appreciate it. It makes it easier whenever they have a good time, right? To get people to come in, they tell their friends, oh, yeah, I know that guy. Oh, yeah, well, you do that. I just talk. You do that. So I appreciate all of you. Spotify Wrapped came out. Top 10%. What was it? Shit. Jake, what was it? Do you remember? Hold on. Oh, man. Let me go back. Because I was. It's blown away. Give me one second here. This is bad radio. 4.9 average rating. Top 10% most followed podcast. Top 20% most shared. 30 countries total. And 53% growth over last year. I mean, y'all not going to get me crying 2 weeks in a row. We're just not going to do it. I know I'm getting old and soft, but you're not going to do that to me. It's the worst betting year I've ever had in my life. In my life. And we grew 53%. And you guys shared me more than 20% of other podcasts out there. Top 10% most followed podcasts on Spotify. Are you kidding me? That can't be real, man. That cannot be real. Thank you. I know I'm a grouchy bitch sometimes and things are weird, but I appreciate you. I really do. Thank you. Thank you for that. 2022 was good. 2023 is going to be great. One place goes up, man. That's all we got. Just up. Up. Here we go. So I love you. Be good to each other. Go send Drew a message. Tell him you saw him on my show. Tell him you think he's handsome. Do whatever. I don't care. Send him a dick pic. Tell him, you know, send him a pic of your feet. Do whatever you want. Be good to each other. Plays will be out on Twitter and betmma.tips and Instagram on Saturday. Cheers. Be good to each other, guys.